Get real advice about anything from two women who've experienced a lot of life. They want to share their joy and knowledge of life with you. These two women are young enough to remember and old enough to know.
And now the Chat with Women Network presents All About Divorce with Amanda Dubois and Monica Carey.
Saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess.
Good morning. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to All About Divorce. I'm Monica Carey here with Amanda Dubois, my business partner at the Dubois Carey Law Group. We are family law and estate planning lawyers who practice out of our peaceful waterfront office over in Seattle. You can check us out online at DuboisLaw.net or our Facebook page, Dubois Carey Law Group. Thanks for tuning in. Hello, Amanda.
Good morning, Monica. What are we going to talk about today?
Well, I think we should talk about a question that comes up a lot. I hear people say, well, how do I choose a lawyer?
Oh, boy. For a divorce.
For a divorce.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, so what do you tell them?
Well, I say choose us. That's easy. You don't need to worry about it.
That's right. Simple.
No, but I think actually it comes up a lot for me. I mean, especially with things like Facebook, I have friends from out of state who maybe are looking for lawyers elsewhere in other places. And I think my my first question would be, well, what's the person like? I mean, I'd want to know, just like any relationship that you enter into, any kind of relationship with a business professional or a doctor or a lawyer, I'd want to know kind of, well, what's this lawyer like?
And how would someone go about figuring that out?
I think that there are a lot of different ways. I mean, you can talk to friends, your real estate agent, your doctor, your friend who maybe your friend who got a divorce.
Okay, so let me ask you about this. So let's say your next door neighbor just got a divorce.
Yeah.
And she says, oh, I have this fabulous lawyer. How do you then know that that would be the right lawyer for you?
You know, I think that it's really personal, but I wouldn't necessarily know if I wasn't doing this kind of work. I wouldn't know to ask more questions because, you know, you might think, oh, my, you know, really best friend or my next door neighbor, somebody that I completely trust to watch my kids or to do something. You know, you might have really different personality. Your marriage could be really different. The way that your marriage ends might be really different. You might have really different, your spouses might have different personalities. So the question that would come up for me that I would ask is, I'd want to ask the lawyer, well, what is a high conflict divorce? What is a low conflict divorce? You know, do you do both?
Exactly. And I think part of it is trying to figure out how you think your divorce is going to go.
Yes.
Because what's really common, I think what we see a lot in our office is someone comes in, I can think of one of my favorite clients. He came in and said, it's going to be amicable. I know I have to pay a lot of spousal maintenance. I don't want this to turn into a big scene. And it looked like, you know, he made a lot of money. He had a stay-at-home wife. Everything seemed like it was heading in the right direction. And then she hired an extremely aggressive lawyer, and hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal fees later, they ended up probably where they would have started.
Right.
So sometimes you don't know. You think you're going into an amicable divorce, but your spouse might have a completely different idea. So it's really hard, I think, to, you know, to try to figure out exactly what kind of divorce you're heading for. So I think what you're saying is right, is you want to make sure that you have a lawyer who can do an amicable divorce and who likes to do an amicable divorce. But if things take a turn,
that person's right. In that case, if I'm thinking of the same one, you ended up in trial, even though they ended up at the same place they would have started, only in trial. And a lot of lawyers don't go to trial. I mean, I think a lot of lawyers are really scared to go to trial, or I mean, it is kind of I think it is kind of a drag to go to trial. It's expensive, but it's also what you got to do sometimes.
Well, so that going back to interviewing the lawyer then, or if you're talking to your neighbor and they might have had a lawyer that they really liked, but it might have been one of the lawyers who's more of a high conflict lawyer, or it might have cost a whole lot of money. So you might want to ask your neighbor, actually, how much their divorce cost.
Right.
Because that's one good way of figuring out, you know, what
it
goes
is.
On.
And but also just keep in mind that people remember things differently. And they also, I mean, I think that people often are, they don't want to think about their divorce. So they may, or the number that they tell you that they spent on their divorce may or may not be accurate. I mean,
it's just true.
Never really know. So I know a lot of my friends look online for various businesses and stuff. And I would, with that, I would say, you know, this is, it's a little different than going to an ice cream shop or a restaurant, because you're talking about really, really personal stuff. And it's like confidential and embarrassing. And we don't, I think that if you were shopping around online, it's really important that you go to a lot of different sources to find out about each of these lawyers.
Right. And so you would go, if you go to someone's website, I think a lot of lawyers, especially in family law, they have a website that you can kind of glean a lot about someone's practice style and their personality from their website, I think.
I think that's true.
And I think, you know, if you're looking like you, someone might be more comfortable with somebody in a downtown high rise who wears a business suit and has a bunch of law books
right.
in their office, if they we even still have those. Someone else might want someone who's geographically close to them, maybe in the local strip mall, and they're not as concerned maybe about, you know, being in a downtown law office. Other people are looking for someone that they feel that they could have chemistry with. And from my perspective, I would say the most important thing when you're thinking about finding a lawyer, because what you said, this is so intimate and so personal,
right.
is you want someone that you like.
I think that's true. You want, and you're talking about your life. I mean, you're talking about your children and your money and your property. And I would want to know that the person, you know, has shares in terms of their sort of high end goals for like how to parent a child or something. I mean, I think you'd want to know that the person, that the lawyer also kind of shares those goals, I think.
Exactly.
At some level, you know, you kind of want to know that they're just decent people. Not
and
that,
how about
you
know, this? Here's one I think that's super important is, because divorce is one of the only areas of litigation that I can think of that you're actually litigating it as it unfolds. So like if you
right.
were in a car accident, then you go get a lawyer, and then you all talk about the car accident that happened 2 years ago or last
right.
year. But when you're in a divorce, you're actually in the process of litigating, which means, you know, solving a dispute, as that your case is actually unfolding in real time.
Right.
So to me, what's really important is that you have a lawyer who's available outside of business hours.
I think that's really true. I mean, I know for me, I have a lot of clients who are also working moms, just
exactly.
like I am. And it's not unusual for me to be on the phone at 9 o'clock at night after my kid's in bed and after their kids are in bed to have maybe not, I mean, not like a huge long conversation, but just to be able to have a quick little update.
Exactly. Or just check your email. I mean, we check our email.
We check our email a lot.
All the time.
Yeah.
And
right.
texting. And, you know, these days,
right.
with all the different kinds of communication that there, I think it's really important. You don't want, I mean, if you're in a family law situation and, you know, your husband, ex-husband doesn't bring the kid back on time or something, you kind of need to be able to get a hold of your lawyer.
It's true. And it's just what you said, that things change really, really rapidly.
So that would be one question that I would want to know
right.
is, are you available after hours, or do you check email on weekends? I mean, we're on email on the weekends and see each
right.
other on there. Hi.
Yeah.
But, you know, answering questions of clients, not to say that you have to be every weekend all the time on
right.
your Facebook or your email or something. But,
you know, it's just, but most of my clients, a lot of them are working during the day or, you know, at volunteering with their kids or running their kids around or whatever, and they just don't have time. And so, obviously, I mean, obviously, it's important to talk to your lawyer during the day. Sometimes you have to, but there are other times when, yeah, the only time that people have available. I mean, I just recently had a client who said, I said, can we talk at 9:15? I know that's really late, but that would work really great for me with my schedule, because I needed to speak to the client, and the client was so happy.
Yeah. So that would be one question that I would ask. The other question that you kind of alluded to a little while ago is about going to trial, and nobody wants to think that they're going to go to trial because it's so crazy scary and really expensive. But at the same time, if you have a lawyer who has a reputation for taking a case to trial when there's a disagreement, that right. lawyer has way more bargaining power in a settlement conference, because the other side knows, you know, if we don't settle this, she has no problem going to trial with this case, and she knows what she's doing. And I think
yes.
that gives you, it's like having an insurance policy.
Yes.
So if you're looking for an amicable divorce, I think most people intuitively say, well, I don't want a trial lawyer to do an amicable divorce. But you kind of do.
You kind of do, right.
You want a trial lawyer who likes to settle cases. And, you know, there are some lawyers and, you know, that are divorce lawyers, and they love to take everything to trial, and that's their reputation. And, you know, when they show up, you're heading for trial. But the very best lawyers, I think, are the ones that like to do amicable cases, you know, see the value and the importance in maintaining an intact family by trying to come up with an amicable resolution so people can co-parent their kids together.
Right.
But at the same time, if it doesn't work out,
they're prepared to go to trial.
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, I would be very, very leery of a lawyer who said, I'm going to fight for you. Yeah. And who says yes, who just says, yes, 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 you're going to get that. Yes, you're going to get that.
Oh, geez.
You know, I mean, I think that was one of the first things I learned in a legal clinic in law school was don't give your client those expectations, because the truth is when you go to trial, you're rolling the dice a little bit. And so you want to minimize that risk by selecting a lawyer who has a lot of experience going to trial and working with judges and presenting to the bench to, you know, get what they want.
So to back up your, if you go in to interview a lawyer, and we should talk about what, let's, after we take a break in a minute, we can talk about really what to do when you actually interview a lawyer. But one thing you really want to be sure to do is listen for them. If they're saying, oh yeah, I can, you know, if some guy comes in, I mean, this is sort of the typical story, but there's a father who, you know, is working full time, works really long hours, and decides that he wants to get custody of the children. If a lawyer says, I can absolutely, we'll get you custody of those children, you need to sort of think about what's logical. That's just not going to happen. So you're looking for a lawyer who's really going to tell you the truth.
Right.
Like, here's the range of things that can happen.
Right.
Here's what I think is the most likely.
Right.
But, you know, if you're looking for a lawyer to guarantee you full custody of your children, or to guarantee you, you know, spousal maintenance for the rest of your life at $10,000
exactly.
a month or something completely unreasonable, you're looking for someone to...
If you're looking for a unicorn, it's probably not going to happen. I think we do have to go ahead and take a break. Thanks for tuning in to All About Divorce. I'm Monica Carey here with Amanda Dubois, my business partner. We'll be back in a moment.
For me, something you call love, but confess you've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin', and now someone else. Fire it up.
Cycle the Wave invites you to join other Women Against Violence Everywhere for a cycling experience you'll always remember. Their 6th annual Women's Only Ride on September 15th unites women of all ages and skill levels to raise funds for domestic violence programs across Washington State. Are you ready to join the wave? Register, volunteer, or donate today at cyclethewave.org.
Hi, this is Pam.
And this is Rochelle.
50 lucky people and their guests are going to have the night of their life. We love our new friends at West Seattle Coins and Bellevue Rare Coins.
And we want to tell all our family about the family at West Seattle Coins and Bellevue Rare Coins.
They've been here in our community for over 30 years.
We just love quality jewelry, and we know you will too.
We also love a good deal.
Speaking of good deals, we now have all the details for the exclusive event we're planning at Bellevue Rare Coins.
It's a one-night-only event. We'll have champagne, appetizers, and it's Thursday evening, June 27th, from 5:30 to 9.
250 of their best pieces will be offered at 50 to 70% off retail.
It will be an opportunity to try on, maybe even buy, some really fabulous pieces of jewelry.
Email us at info@chatwithwomen.com to RSVP. And find out more about West Seattle Coins and Bellevue Rare Coins.
We're proud to have them in the Chat with Women family.
We hope you'll be one of the lucky ones.
Does your mind ever seem to have a mind of its own? If you'd like to discover ways to gain control and win the struggle with issues like weight loss, bad habits, getting a good night's sleep, or even overcoming difficult situations, find out why your mind works the way it does and how you can make it work best for you from a hypnotist who knows. Join Kristen on Mind Talk every second Tuesday from 8 to 9 a.m. live on KKNW 1150 a.m. Miss the show? Well, listen to Mind Talk every time on chatwithwomen.com. Visit mymindtalk.com. for more information.
Jessica Butts is a local psychotherapist and certified Myers-Briggs trainer specializing in helping you accomplish magnificent things in your life and relationships. She sees couples and individuals in her office in Bellevue, Washington, and can create a dynamic, educational, and unforgettable team-building event for your group or organization. Contact her today if you want to start creating magnificent relationships in your life. Jessica at jessicabuttscounseling.com or her website, jessicabuttscounseling.com.
News, traffic, and weather? Now you can get your information fix weekdays on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love.
Welcome back. This is All About Divorce. I'm Monica Carey here with Amanda Dubois. We are family law and estate planning lawyers who practice over in Fremont in Seattle. From our peaceful waterfront office, you can check us out at DuboisLaw.net. And today we're talking about how to choose a lawyer for your divorce.
And kind of how the process gets started. So,
yeah.
So let's say that you have checked out some lawyers, you've talked to some friends, talked to maybe other professionals, maybe your doctor, maybe your counselor, people that you trust, and you've looked online maybe and found a website that you like and looked at some online reviews. And just for a minute, we should talk about those online reviews, because there's so much, you know, there's a lot of hateful spewing out there. So you have to kind of sort through, I think.
You do. You have to sort through them and go to many different websites and make sure that you're clicking on the filter and all this stuff, you know, checking
out. Oh, yeah, those filtered reviews are crazy.
That's right, yeah.
It's like on Yelp, they filter out the good reviews and leave the bad reviews.
That's right,
so,
yeah.
Anyway, so you have to kind of look in the Google reviews, and then there's that lawyer one called Avvo.
Right.
A-V-O? A-V-V-O.
A-V-V-O.
Right, so.
But at the end of the day, I mean, it's just like, it's like anything else. I mean, you might see a really great pair of heels that claim to not hurt your feet, and then you put them on and you walk in them for a day, and you realize, oh, wait, these are actually kind of painful.
Happens to me all the time. I just, you know, keep it under the table so you guys don't.
That's
worry
right.
About it.
Well,
I mean, you got to try it out, you know, and
exactly
see if
right
the shoe fits. And so, I, you know, one thing that we do, I have people call sometimes, and they ask me really point blank, what are you like? You know, like, I mean, I don't know if I want to retain you yet, but I know this is going to be a long process. I mean, in King County, you file for divorce and you don't get a trial date for a whole year, and it might take that long, and you might really be in a relationship with this business professional that you're paying a lot of money for a year. And so sometimes I've had a lot of people who go around and kind of, they're like, oh, I'm interviewing attorneys, and
you're looking for a vibe.
They are looking for a vibe, yeah.
I think that's a good thing to look for.
I do, and I think, I mean, one thing that I love our office. We have a really, you know, I think we have, people ask me a lot, they say, do you guys really have as much fun as it looks like you have? And I'm kind of like, yeah, we do, actually. but we don't, I think a really nice thing about us, about everybody who works in our firm, is what you see is what you get. I mean, we're all, nobody there is, we're lucky, we're fortunate to be busy. And so we aren't just sort of like always trying to crawl and get a bunch of new clients or something like that.
No.
And when people come in, I mean, we also like people, you know,
we like our clients.
We have great clients. We do. So,
sort of along those same lines of, you know, taking a year to process a divorce sometimes, usually shorter than that, but I get really bonded to my clients. And then I miss
true
them.
I know.
It's kind of like.
But then they stop by. So like we
they
just,
do, and
yeah,
then
they
bring us
their
stuff.
Kids, and we get to meet the kids, or they bring us, yeah.
Well, that's one nice thing about being out in our office out on Lake Union, is you can just drive right up to the door, and you don't have to go park and pay $25 and go up to elevator banks and sit in a sterile
that's
office
true
and lobby. And so, yeah, it's much more. But you do, you want to kind of be like, remember the old TV show Cheers?
Yeah,
it's like
Cheers.
I mean, our law office is the Cheers of the divorce office.
It's true.
I mean, everybody will know who you are when you come in. The receptionist will know your name. And
yeah.
So if you're looking for that type of experience, and some people might not want that because they want everything to be much more anonymous and cold.
Right.
Or I don't want to say cold, but sort of
distant,
a little more sterile.
Yeah.
And then maybe you're looking for a law office where, you know, it's a quiet reception area, and the lawyer ushers you into a conference room, and it's kind of hush hush. And
I think what I think is neat is that at our office is that a lot of times when people are headed into a divorce, they're coming from a place, a marriage, where they've probably felt really isolated and really alone, and so they walk into our office, and you know they don't feel alone. I mean, it's not unusual. I mean, there are a lot of hugs. There are dogs sometimes. It's, you know, there's food. It's pretty.
Sometimes donuts.
Sometimes donuts. But no, I mean, I think
a purse full of chocolate chip cookies from my daughter.
Made, yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I think that but it's totally personal. Some people don't just, I mean, a lot of people who work with lawyers a lot are really confused because they, you know, if you're the kind of person, if you own a business and you've had lots of different lawyers in your life, it's gonna it might seem unsettling to have to walk into an office like that at first, but when you're talking about the subject matter, it makes a lot more sense.
It does. And then at the flip side of that is when it's time to get serious, it gets incredibly serious.
It does. Yeah.
I mean, when it's time to get ready for a hearing or a mediation or a deposition or a trial, you know, everybody pitches in and it looks pretty efficient.
It is efficient. And we clean up real nice.
So let's talk about you've done your online research. You've talked to your friends and your doctor and your therapist, and you've chosen a couple of different lawyers. And you're going to go in and interview a lawyer now. And most people who are getting a divorce, I think it's fair to say, have never hired a lawyer.
Right.
I mean, it's
That's
just not something
true.
That most people do.
Right, right.
Especially women, I think, more so. A lot of business owners, we represent a lot of business owners, and they've hired business lawyers. But that's all very, you know, numbers and things like that. This is so much more personal.
This is right.
So you go in and you're going to interview your lawyer. I think the most important thing to keep in mind when you're interviewing a divorce lawyer is to ask open-ended questions.
What does that mean?
That means don't ask yes or no questions, because you want the lawyer to talk about themselves and their practice and their style. So if you say, you know, do you take custody cases?
Right.
Then they would say yes. But if you say, tell me about your philosophy about co-parenting in the divorce process, you're going to get a much more interesting answer.
Right.
So I think you should do homework before you go in and think about things that are important to you. So like, what are your goals? I mean, most people's goals are, I don't want to lose custody of my kids.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be financially stable when this is over.
Mm-hmm.
And I want my house, or I want my business, or, you know, I'm hoping that my business will be, you know, maintained or preserved so that I can continue to operate my business. Or people have different issues that come up. Or, you know, maybe you're the wage earner, you know, and you're coming in to saying, I need to know how much maintenance I'm going to have to pay for my spouse.
Right.
So as opposed to, do you take cases, you know, where alimony's involved?
Right.
And along those lines, I think it's really good to have a list.
I do, too. I find that a lot of, we were just talking about this during the break, but potential clients will come in with a list, and then sometimes they forget about the list, and then at the end they say, oh, I have a list. Oh, you answered everything on the list. But it's nice because you want to know, I think you go in to see the lawyer, and my guess is that we kind of flood you with information. So in an hour, you are just dosed with all this information. And you want to make sure that you remember it when you leave. And so I think having a list going in would probably help you remember some of that stuff when you take off.
I think another thing that's really important when you go in to meet with a divorce lawyer is I would be a little suspicious if they didn't introduce me to their staff.
That's true. You're making me think of a funny story about the lawyer that you went to trial and the lawyer didn't eat lunch with the client.
Oh, yes. He walked out and left her sitting alone at counsel table.
Right.
And he didn't have, and his paralegal came in the morning and set up his pencil and his pad, and then she left, and then he walked out and she came and cleaned it all up.
And even your client was kind of like, I feel sorry for her. Maybe she should come meet with us. I agree with you. I mean, we love our support staff. They make us look awesome, and they are awesome.
And they're going to be, if you're heading into a divorce, that paralegal is your new best friend.
Right.
That is the person that's going to be that, because they're cheaper.
They are cheaper and they are really smart and
they're going to keep track of all your documents, and they're going to be coordinating all your scheduling, and they're going to be, you know, the person that is probably going to answer the phone first when you have a problem with your, you know, a custody problem or.
Right.
You know,
they're going to be more available than the lawyer.
They're kind of the person that coordinates the case.
Yeah.
So I think that you want to see what the vibe and how the lawyer interacts with her paralegal is important. So it's a whole vibe thing. I think we keep coming back to that, but it's chemistry.
Yes.
Like, do I think this person will care about me and my family? And do they seem child-centered? And do they seem, you know, confident about the information that they're giving me?
I agree. I think that that's all really true.
So once you've met with the support staff and you've met with a lawyer, you know, here's another thing that I think should be raised in the first meeting, and it's you're not going to get a whole lot of information, but you need to talk about money, legal fees.
Right.
Because you know, people come in and they want this and they want that. And they, you know, some people are angry because maybe you just found out that your husband or wife is having an affair or something horrible has happened and you want this and I want that and he's not going to get away with it. And I'm sitting here thinking, well, that's a motion and that's another motion and that's a deposition and every motion's $5,000. And you've just right. told me that you want $20,000 worth of legal work.
Right.
And so I think I feel obligated to say, well, let's slow down. You know, let's see if we can come up with a plan. You know, what is your budget?
Right.
And what can be a reasonable plan that doesn't require, you know, maybe not going to court so often. Maybe we're going to save it all up and go to court one time and yes. deal with several issues at once as opposed
time.
To, you know, some sort of strategic plan that's going to make it go out over a longer period of time. So
right.
I think you need to be pretty honest. And you don't always know what your budget is because you don't know how much money you're going to have access to. So talking about that's really
talking
important.
Talking about that's really important. And I mean, I tell clients all the time, you know, I think that in any litigation, money is part of your strategy. And it's that's actually no different with a divorce.
And speaking of money, one thing that a lot of people should think about doing is if you are going to a divorce lawyer and your spouse doesn't know that you're thinking about getting a divorce, it's a pretty good idea to bring cash.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because it'll show up on your credit card bill. If you go into litigation and you write a check, your spouse will be able to subpoena your bank records. And maybe you don't want, you know, maybe you're doing divorce planning, which is an awesome thing to do.
Right.
And we can talk about that maybe after the break, like how do you mm-hmm. plan? But if you're in the divorce planning process, you might be thinking, I'm going to file this, you know, after the kids are out of school. And so you're coming in March or something to talk about it. You right. don't necessarily want your spouse getting the MasterCard bill and seeing that you were at a divorce lawyer.
Yeah, and I mean, at the end of the day, it may or may not matter. It's not so much that it's going to be used against you. It's that it's
privacy.
It's just privacy. It's just going to create more conflict later.
Yeah, because
if your spouse doesn't know that you're really considering a divorce,
exactly,
you know, it's going to hurt your spouse's feelings and just escalate things. So,
although it's kind of like we had one of our clients who went on our Facebook. Remember the woman who went on our Facebook and liked our Facebook page, and then her husband showed up that night with the. She wasn't a client; she was a friend of ours. Remember, she went on the Facebook. She liked, and her husband came home that night with flowers because he saw on her Facebook that she liked a divorce lawyer's page. So maybe the same thing is true. Same thing's true. If you put your consult on your credit card, you might get flowers or a ring or jewelry or
exactly.
some little bit of bling.
Well, I think we're going to go ahead and take a break. Thanks for tuning in to All About Divorce. I'm Monica Carey here with Amanda Dubois. We're family law and estate planning lawyers practicing in Seattle.
Love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else is getting...
Are you running out of places to put your things? Sherry Lynn Storage Solutions is here to help. They are your number one choice for custom-built storage systems. They do everything. Closets, pantries, offices, garages, anything you can think of. They even offer free in-home consultations as well as free installation. Call Sherry Lynn and get 30% off your first order. Their number is 888-848-6815. That's 888-848-6815.
You know, too many people in this world feel stuck. Emotional hijacks weigh them down. And change feels hard, even impossible. At Awakening Works, they understand the burden of these common problems, but there's nothing common about the way they solve them. Change can be easier, and life can be different. Awaken to your full potential again. Please join their founder, Susan Crampton Davis, on Chat with Women Network every second and fourth Thursday at 8 a.m. or visit them at awakeningworks.com. to learn more.
Two rooms for $149.
Two rooms for $149?
Two rooms for $149 at Quinault Beach Resort and Casino in Ocean Shores, Washington. Two consecutive nights, two people stay for just $149.
So let me get this straight. I can go to the beach for two nights, take someone with me, and we both stay for $149?
Yeah, total for both nights.
And I can still get the Olympic breakfast special for $2?
No, Val, that's still $1.99.
I don't suppose you'll go twofer on that.
I'll give you two eggs, two pieces of Canadian bacon, and two pieces of toast. But still, $1.99.
Wow. So a friend and me meet, we'll head to the beach, pay $149 for two nights, and eat breakfast for under $2 a piece?
Yep.
What are we going to do with all the money we save?
Well, we do have a world-class casino.
I could end up coming home with cash.
Big cash, Val.
I'm heading to the beach.
Make your reservations early, because at this rate, we'll run out of rooms. Some restrictions and blackout days do apply. It's Quinault Beach Resort and Casino in Ocean Shores, Washington. Call 888-461-2244. Or log on to QuinaultBeachResort.com. Quinault Beach Resort and Casino. Winners happen here.
Wake up every day looking and feeling more beautiful with the help of Wink Lash Extensions. Located in downtown Bellevue and specializing in eyelash extensions, body bronzing, facial peels, manicures, pedicures, and waxing. Wink gives you an innovative beauty experience that combines services to leave you looking refreshed without being rushed. Visit our website at WinkLashExtensions.com or contact us at 425-502-8178.
And when you book for a full set of lash extensions in the month of June, you'll receive a free gift. What is it? Well, you'll have to book your appointment to find out.
Like what you hear? Be sure and support the sponsors who support your favorite programs on Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin'.
Thanks for tuning in to All About Divorce. I'm Monica Carey here with Amanda Dubois. We are family law and estate planning lawyers who practice in Seattle, Washington. And today we're talking about how to choose a divorce lawyer, what to expect from the process.
So I think before we left, we were talking about that first meeting. So kind of what you're going in, you've done your research, you're going into the meeting. And one thing I think that would be important, let's kind of talk about the details of that meeting now. What to expect. Okay. And one thing I think is important is there's usually a couple different ways that people come in to a meeting with a lawyer. And one is kind of a meet and greet type situation where you're coming in just to meet the person and kind of figure out if you like them and look around the office and, you know, meet the staff and ask a couple questions about their personal philosophy and their experience, sort of like you're like more of a job interview type of an interview. And then the other kind of interview is you're actually coming in for more of a consult for substantive information.
Right.
And you're still doing the same thing. You're coming in and trying to figure out if you like the person and if you like the office and you like the way that it feels and, you know, you feel comfortable and safe.
Right.
But so the first type of interview, I would say you'd be asking more life, like philosophy questions. So it would be things like, you know, what's your philosophy of dispute resolution? Like, do you believe in, would you prefer to take a case to mediation or to trial?
Mm-hmm.
Or what would you do if my spouse and I had a conflict? You know, you're looking for a lawyer who says, well, you know, whenever there's a conflict, we need to go to court and get that resolved versus, well, first I do is pick up the phone and call their lawyer and, you know, see if we could work something out. So you'd be asking
questions like that.
Those type of questions. So those would be the open-ended philosophical practice style.
Right.
Type questions.
Okay. And if you were going in for a more substantive consult,
then I think you need to be a little bit more prepared with personal and financial information about yourself.
Like what?
So you would want to, you know, you want to bring in, you don't need to show up with a expando file or a big, you know, grocery bag full of all your bank records and your mortgage statements and your quitclaim deeds and stuff. There will be plenty of time for that. But you ought to have an idea of what you have.
Right. Yes.
So before you're going to go meet with a lawyer, if you're going to be looking for substantive, you know, legal information or a consultation, you want to spend some time gathering up some information about your family. And first of all, I think you'd want to gather financial information.
Yeah. So what do you mean by that? Like tax returns, bank statements,
you want to know your lawyer's, bills. Your lawyer's going to want to know how much money you guys make.
Right.
And a tax return is helpful. So maybe the past 2 or 3 years of tax returns. If you can't get the tax returns, then, you need to be able to say, because a lawyer can't really give you very good information if they don't know if you make. I mean, I've had people come in, you know, and she didn't know how much money her husband made within $200,000 or $300,000. I mean, she didn't have a clue.
That's not unusual.
Yeah. Right. So But she says, oh, we have a Mercedes and I have a lot of fur coats and stuff. And then you kind of get an idea that maybe they have some money. But if you know something about your income, that's helpful. And most people do. It's important to know how much money you have in the bank.
Yes.
You want to know if you have a retirement account.
That's a good thing to know.
You want to know if it's a 401k or an IRA or a pension. If you can find that out, that's helpful.
Yes.
You want to know if you own your house, how much is your mortgage? You want to know what your monthly budget is, if you can,
if you can estimate that.
Uh-huh. So you want to know what your mortgage payment is, roughly what the utilities are, because your lawyer's going to be trying to give you some advice about your financial situation going forward. And if you can have, you know, here's our savings account, here's our stock account if you have one.
Right.
Here's the money I inherited from my mother. Here's our how much our house is worth. Here's how much our mortgage is. We bought the house 25 years ago. You know, our mortgage is low, but we've got a big line of credit on it. Or we bought the house last year and we owe more than it's worth. Those are completely different situations.
Right.
And then you want to know, and you want to know if you have a business or if your spouse has a business. That's really important to know. And a little bit about the business. You know, does your do you or your spouse have a really successful business that's, you know, going to be an issue in the divorce? Or maybe do you have a small business out of your home?
Right.
You want to know how much debt you have. And that's a big deal.
That is a big deal. And it's, and you may not know that there's debt in your name.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't run a credit report on yourself.
Yeah. So you want to know, you know, because some people come in and it looks great. It's like, oh, you're making a good income. Your mortgage is affordable. You've got a little bit saved in retirement, but then you find out there's $50,000 worth of credit card debt, or the spouse has gone out and charged up a bunch of credit card debt that you don't know about.
And, you know, if you don't have all this information for the first meeting, that's fine. But this is the kind of stuff that's going to come up along the way.
Right. So if you have a ballpark idea about that stuff. Water.
Oh, thank you.
If you have a ballpark idea about your financial situation, it's going to make for a much more meaningful consultation.
I think at the first consult, the lawyer ideally would know how much money you both make a year. I mean, that'll give the lawyer a good place to start.
Exactly. And you don't have to know exactly how much you owe on your mortgage or something, but it's helpful to know this is a house that has a whole bunch of equity in it, or this is a house that's just pure debt and it's going to be an issue for who's going to end up having to take on the house and the debt that's involved with it. So some other issues that you want to think about before you go in to see the lawyers, there's a whole issue of separate property. And that means, did you have something before you got married?
Hey, you mentioned the inheritance.
Uh-huh. So there's separate property is basically three different things in Washington. One is you've inherited money. And then the question about whether that maintains its separate characterization has to do with whether you've mixed that in with your marital money.
Right.
So if you've inherited money, that's something you want to tell the lawyer. Or if you maybe you got married when you were in your mid-30s or 40, or, you know, it's a second marriage for you, or you had been successful in your own right prior to getting married, and you had a bunch of money saved up in retirement before you got married, the lawyer will want to know that.
Right.
Or if you had a house.
Yeah, or if your parents gave you money to buy the house that you're in, that's a whole other issue.
Yeah, where did you get the money for the down payment on your house?
I find that that's one that people forget to tell me.
Yeah.
You know, you start talking about, oh, we live in this house. Oh, and you're kind of thinking, wow, that's a really expensive house. And you guys don't make as much money as I would have expected. And then all of a sudden you find out, oh, well, yeah, well, my mom gave us $200,000 to put down on the house. Well, that changes things.
It doesn't. Did the mom give it to you or did the mom give it to both of you?
That's a big question, yeah.
So the lawyer's going to be asking you questions like that to try to figure out, because if mom gave you both $200,000 as a wedding gift or something, that becomes more likely that'll be determined to be a community gift. But if mom gave you $200,000 to buy a house, that might be your separate property, depending on whether you can prove it or not.
Right.
So those are the types of questions that the lawyer is probably going to ask you. And then the whole question of debt is a little bit scary, because most people don't necessarily know that even if the credit card in the state of Washington, if the credit card is in your spouse's name, it's still a community debt, or if it's in your name. So
as long as you're married, It's half yours.
Exactly. So you want to kind of be prepared with all of your financial information as much as you can. But like Monica said, you don't have to come in with all your bank statements and stuff. But if you have an idea and you can just write a list of that stuff.
That's helpful.
It's going to make then the lawyer will be able to say, okay, this is a community property state and you earn more than your spouse. And so, and here's all your assets. And you guys have a net estate of $200,000 or $500,000. Here's kind of how things might unroll as this thing proceeds.
And the other thing, though, in terms of planning, as we've said, you don't have to bring all this stuff in. But if you sometimes people are coming in and they know, oh, this is getting really ugly and it's heating up. And if you're in a position where maybe you think that some of those documents are going to be destroyed, you might actually want to just make copies of them and put them back wherever you found them, so that when you come to see the lawyer, you can bring it in, because it's going to, even though it's definitely, we have remedies to try to get that information, it can slow down the process, create more conflict, and certainly cause more money, more costs, if we have to send out a bunch of discovery and subpoenas when actually
it was all in the file
cabinet. One time
it
was all in the file cabinet, but then he took it, or, you know, something like that. So if you can get if you can get all of that stuff and put it on a thumb drive, that's fantastic. If you can't, then you can't. But
well, if you can also put it in a paper bag and show up with it, that's been
that's
known
true.
To happen.
Yeah.
Another thing you want to kind of look at is when you're looking through your financial stuff, if there's anything that looks like a little wonky, like if something comes to your home from a financial institution that you don't know about.
Right.
Like you guys have all your stuff in Merrill Lynch and all of a sudden a Charles Schwab envelope shows up, you know. And you guys haven't been getting along very well. I mean, you want to be a little bit alert to the fact that your spouse could also be opening different accounts,
right,
or maybe opening a different bank account or a different stock account. And then there's issues of things like, you know, people gamble or take vacations or spend money on girlfriends or boyfriends. So you kind of want to think about that kind of stuff. So that's kind of the financial end of what's helpful for the first consult, I think.
I think so, too. And just really quick with child support, again, when we talked a little bit before about just income, and I think that that's another reason. I mean, that's often a really important question for moms.
Absolutely.
I mean, just a lot of times.
Well, it's for the person who's paying that, too.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like, how much is child support going to be?
And so a lot of times if you come in with pretty solid numbers of how much each of you makes, we can try to sort that, give you an estimate of what that might be pretty quickly. So I think we're going to go ahead and take a break. Thanks for tuning in to All About Divorce. I'm Monica Carey here with Amanda Dubois. We're Seattle family law and estate planning lawyers. You can check us out online at DuboisLaw.net.
Something you call love, but confess.
Want to see Paul McCartney live in concert?
Be out of Seattle at South Center can let it be a reality.
Stop by now through June 30th. Take a test drive and you'll be entered to win two tickets to see this legendary Beatle live. No purchase necessary.
It's all part of a huge sizzling summer sales event going on at Fiat of Seattle at South Center.
So come together today and take a test drive. With a little luck, you and a friend could be heading to Safeco Field July 19th to see Sir Paul McCartney.
Heck, you might even find yourself driving down the long and winding road in the new Fiat of your dreams.
O'Brien.
The Psychic Spectrum Radio Show at their new time slot every Monday from 8 to 9 a.m. where we take your live calls and answer your questions, readings, talking to the other side. A weekly psychic showcase. For more information, visit psychicspectrum.com.
It's a dead man's party. Who could ask for more?
Hey, there's my son.
Hey, Dad.
What's wrong with your voice?
There is nothing wrong with my voice.
Well, it's just sort of.
Hello, Dad.
Susan? Guys, I think it's about time to get in the car and maybe see some green things.
What are these green things you speak of?
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I am Salty's.
Can you imagine Salty's? Imagine a place that becomes something absolutely unforgettable.
Sustainable seafood from icy waters of the Pacific Northwest.
Salty's is sweet coconut-crusted prawns.
Salty's is live Dungeness crab.
The finest USDA prime steak.
With perfectly paired wine.
Your life is our celebration.
Your table is waiting at Salty's.
Go to Salty's.com and make your reservation today. Salty's, Alki Beach, Redondo Beach, and Columbia River.
Notice anything different? You should. There's no other station like Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
You keep saying you got something for me. Something you call love, but confess. You've been a messin' where you shouldn't have been a messin'. And now someone else.
Thanks for tuning in to All About Divorce. I'm Monica Curie, here with Amanda Dubois. We are Seattle family law and estate planning lawyers. Our website is DuboisLaw.net. And today we've been talking about how to choose a divorce lawyer and what to expect from the process. We just wrapped up talking about financial statements and things like that that you might bring to your first appointment. And I think now we want to talk a little bit about budget.
Well, yeah, I think that if a lawyer is going to try to give you some idea of what to expect, like there's two parts to the divorce process, really. One is you file for divorce, and then there's some period of time between when you file and when you get divorced. So that's sort of the temporary period.
Yes.
And then there's the period of time after you, then it's the rest of your life. And so the lawyer needs to have information about your budget and your expenses, because she's going to have to try to analyze that and figure out who's going to be able to pay what and what it's going to look like while you're in the process. In that temporary period.
Right.
And then she wants to be able to sort of give you some idea of what you can expect in the future.
Right. Going forward. So maybe, I mean, we always say that when people get divorced and move into two households, it takes at least a couple years for them to bounce back financially.
Oh, yeah. It's terrible.
So that's,
then you want to be frank about it. You want to say, look, this is, and your income. So you're going to say, this is what I do.
Right.
This is how much money I make. And this is how much it costs to run my household.
Yep.
And you don't want to fluff it up. And this is your own lawyer. So this is like, be honest.
Right. It's important to be honest with your lawyer. I think every lawyer across the board can say that. Please tell us the truth.
Please tell us really what's going on here. So, you know, if you've got a bunch of credit card debt and you're embarrassed about it, just lay it on the line and let's see how bad it is. Or if you've got a huge amount of savings, you know, I had a client not too long ago, and she had this huge savings, and she didn't want to have to blow through it. And it's the opposite problem that most people have. But she's like, I don't want to have to spend my whole savings on, lifestyle getting me through this process. So it can be either way. But anyway, so your budget would include, and your lawyer should kind of give you a list of what they need to know. But it's your mortgage and your utilities and your credit card bills and your kids' tuition and daycare and. What else is on there, Monica? Insurance, health expenses.
Health insurance, food.
Food.
All that stuff. It's just your monthly bills.
Right. So if you know that, that's helpful. And then the next thing that the lawyer's going to want to know, let's say that you're not working right now.
Right.
The lawyer's going to need to know if you're employable.
What kind of skills you have.
Yeah, because some people have no skills, in which case that makes a different picture as far as alimony or spousal support.
Right.
Versus, I have a PhD, or I got a master's degree in architecture from Yale or something, but I haven't worked in 20 years.
Right.
But, so some of those people can't get back to work very easily. But it's really important to tell your lawyer if you have any marketable skills, even though if you don't want to work, that's really not what you want to do, because your spouse's lawyer is going to know that. Because your spouse knows, she has a master's degree in, she's an MBA.
Yes.
And it might be rusty. But
they're going to make a lot of hay out of that. They're going to say she should be making a certain amount of money every year. And they're not going to mention, she's been taking care of four kids for the last, the last 10 years and she hasn't been working outside the home. But it's important for us to know that. And also, just in terms of the transition in the client's life, that you need to start exploring how you're going to support yourself.
And part of what a good divorce lawyer should do, divorce lawyers are, it's an interesting and really super fun job, because it's so much fun to help people through the transition.
Right.
And watch how they inspire you with all the cool things that people do and the changes that they make in their lives. But part of a good divorce lawyer is not only going to help you with all this financial stuff, but they're also going to help you personally think about your future.
Yes.
And so if you have worked in the past, you know, we need to know that, number one, because we just need to be able to plan. And nothing's worse than finding out from the opposing counsel that, oh, by the way, why isn't your client back at work? She's got an MBA. And you're like, really?
Right.
So that's, you know, mostly you don't want your lawyer to get blindsided. But also, if you haven't worked then, or if you've got a rusty work history, vocational rehabilitation and doing vocational assessments is part of the process.
So what does that mean? We work with a lot of experts. Mm-hmm. And what's a vocational assessment?
So I've never really had one, but as I understand it. So we there's people that that's their specialty. So they give individuals tests and interviews, and they talk to you about what your interests are and what your job history is and what you'd like to do and what you're qualified to do. And then they come up with a report, and they know jobs that I've never heard of before. I mean, it's not all just doctor, nurse, teacher,
right,
engineer. I mean, there's, you know, all kinds of different jobs out there that most people haven't heard of, and they can come up with some really cool ideas. And so it's part of your divorce strategy to be able to say, you know, what your likelihood of getting employed is, but it's also part of your life that you need
exactly. to. Exactly, yeah. The court is going to make you do it, and also, you know, we as your lawyers, we want you to be able to.
And the flip side of that is, so if let's say that you're the person who's the wage earner, and your spouse, whether it's a husband, spouse who's staying home or not working or underemployed, or a wife, spouse, we need to know what their job history is. Because on the flip side of that, if you come in to me and say, you know, my husband has a master's in teaching, but he hasn't been working, or he has a, you know, some sort of job history, then I can ask him to undergo, I can ask his lawyer to have him undergo a vocational assessment.
Yes.
So we can send the opposing party
to go get one too.
To go get one so that you're not in the position of saying, well, I'm a doctor, so do I have to support him forever?
I think that's such a funny one. I feel like a lot of times the breadwinning spouse who is like, oh, and then my spouse wanted to go to law school. Then my spouse wanted to go be a chef. Then my spouse wanted to, and I paid for this and I paid for that. And so sometimes they think they really like that part of the court saying you've got to go get a real job, and I don't care what you think you can and can't do, you're going to get a vocational assessment.
Yeah, and then the court will say you might not want to do any of these jobs that we're going to impute. That means they're going to impute income to them, which basically means we're going to assume that you're making $7,000 a month because all the jobs that you're qualified for pay in that range. So we're not going to give you a whole bunch of alimony to keep you going
right
indefinitely, maybe yeah. for a year
maybe
to get
for
started.
For a little while to get the transitional right. support. But.
So back to the going to the lawyer for the first consultation or interview, that's why you need to be able to explain what your job history is, what your spouse's job history is, so that the lawyer can get some idea of how you guys are going to go forward.
Right. Well, so what about if you go, what about kids? We really haven't kind of talked about that piece in the first consult.
So I think the most important thing about kids is probably how old are they, first of all?
Yeah, that makes a big difference.
You know, if you got right. three kids under 4 years old, you got a bigger problem than if you got teenagers. Well, maybe, maybe not. But you want to know what your work schedule is, what
right,
your kids' schedule
really
is.
Right, that's really important. Yeah, what they're...
Do you have expensive... We all have expensive kids. That's a dumb question. But, you know, do your kids all go to private school? Or right. are they...
And
do they take
soccer.
Some kind of... Yeah, oh boy. That's I know expensive. More about select soccer since I've been a lawyer than when my kids were little. I can't tell you how often we litigate select soccer. I think every kid's on. It must tell every kid you're on a select team because my clients' kids all seem to be soccer stars. So, but that's important because if you've got kids that are in some soccer, select soccer, and that's a huge demand on your time.
Right.
Then you need to come up with a plan, you know, how's that all going to work? And then you need to know your work schedule and your spouse's work schedule.
So why is the work schedule so important for the court?
Well, it has to do with parenting. Like if you have like some of the hardest parenting plans, I think, are for nurses and firefighters,
right.
people that work long shifts.
Yes.
Like if you work a 12-hour shift,
right.
there's rules in Washington about like daycares can't be open for 12 hours. I can't remember
I think
exactly
you can't,
what the rules
yeah,
are.
Leaving your child there for more than, I think, 8 hours or 10 hours. Or
yeah,
something.
It's hard. So if you've got one of those 12-hour shift type jobs, that really impacts your parenting. Or if you're, well, nurses... Pilots, firefighters, and police officers are the ones that come to mind. Doctors
mm-hmm.
have weird schedules. And so if you're looking for a parenting plan, a lot of parenting plans say, you know, they're going to sit down with mom's schedule. You know, she's a doctor and she's on call
for 2 days or
whatever
something.
Her call schedule is. And she yeah. gets her call schedule at the beginning of the month. And that's going to dictate the parenting plan.
Right.
So you've got two kids in private schools and maybe, you know, dad's a firefighter. Mm-hmm. And he wants 50-50 custody. Well, your plan's going to look a lot different. So if you go to a lawyer for a first meeting and they think that you're both working a 9-to-5 job, then they'll give you different advice, don't you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's going to drastically affect your residential schedule.
Yeah, so you're going to, you know, it's not going to be every other weekend if somebody's working every other weekend or,
right.
you know, and some of those schedules are cool because what's really cool about them is then you have 4 days off and then you get to be a full-time parent for 4 days maybe.
Right. Or in the summer especially, I think that would happen.
Right. And then I think, what else do you think they need to know about kids? Their schedule, their activities?
Their schedule. And I think, you know, there's a whole issue of primary parent, 50-50 custody. And so the more kind of objective data that you can bring in to support that, the better. Like, you know, pediatrician records sometimes, not necessarily for the first visit, but
so the question that the court will always want to know is who is the child primarily bonded to?
Right.
That's what you mean by primary parent.
Yes, that's what I mean.
Yeah. So you want to be honest about that.
Yeah.
And if you're a working mom or dad and if you guys really share parenting, be honest about that and say, you know, I get him up to school
yes.
and he picks him up after school. And
well, I think we're going to have to
wrap it up here.
But thanks for tuning in to All About Divorce. I'm Monica Carey here with Amanda Dubois. We are Seattle family law and estate planning lawyers. Our website is DubuaLaw.net. And you can also check us out on Facebook, Dubois Carey Law Group. Thanks for tuning in.
All over you. Yeah. You keep lying when you ought to be truthing. And you keep losing when you ought to not bet. You keep saying when you ought to be a-changing. Now what's right is right, but you ain't been right.